This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome once again this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that what we say can encourage you, bless you, teach you, and maybe even challenge you. Now, if you would like to contact me again, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries, all one word, lowercase, .com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. You can re-listen to this program there. You can download the program and send it as an attachment through email to other friends. And this program can be re-listened to there yourself if you want to re-listen. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments or prayer requests, we would take them very seriously. Now, we're in the last week or the last weekend of January, and it's hard to believe that we've already got January. We're always told that in January there's going to be 2 weeks of relatively bad weather in Iowa, and we certainly have seen that in the last couple of weeks. We've got a little break today as I record. I don't know what the weekend will be like when you hear this, but we've been looking at different words that have significance to us in the new year. And first of all, we looked at beginnings, and of course that's an interesting topic and somewhat controversial topic when it comes to the beginnings of creation. But we looked at the beginnings of each story that was being told, where that word was used. And then we've looked at warnings. And of course, we, if you're listening to our radio weather reports, they constantly warn us that the roads are going to be bad, that the wind is going to be bad, that the wind chill is going to be bad, and they say, make sure you prepare for it. And their warnings are not near as important as the warnings that we try to give you in Scripture. We know that God has provided for us, but He's also given us warnings, and He said that if you reject me, He'll reject you. And so eternity is long, time is short, and so we try to, in a loving way, pass on the warnings of Scripture. We've looked at worry, and we know that all of us worry. We worry about whether our cars are going to start and what's going to happen if we get stalled on the road. And we worry about our health, and we worry about our finances, and we worry about our relationships. And it's a constant worry, and the reason we worry is because we forget that we have a God in heaven who, if we are saved, not only loves us, but He's a God who preserves us and saves us, who has told us that that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, obviously, we shouldn't worry. But there's another word that I want to look at today, and it's the word hope. And this word is often misused when it comes to the gospel, because many people think that when we look at hope, we hope to be saved. We hope that when we die, things will be right with God. We hope that our good works will be better than our bad works, will outweigh our bad works. We hope that we'll be in heaven. And there are many people who say that while they believe in God, they can only hope that they're saved, that this hope has a big question mark associated with it. But that's not the way the word hope is used in the Bible. The word hope in the Bible is to anticipate, usually with a pleasurable expectation or outcome. So this expectation we have has to do with our confidence in the Lord and in His promises. Hope is something we all need. If we lose our hope, it seems like life is futile. If we have hope, then life has meaning. Hope gives us a reason for getting up in the morning. It is the reason for living, and it's the comfort in dying. And we need to have something to look forward to in this life. Now, there's a contrast between those of us who are believers and who have hope or confidence in the promises of God and in the future that is promised to us, and those who have rejected God and who have no hope. That contrast is found in Ephesians 2, verse 12. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he's recounting what they once were. And before they were saved, he says, at that time you were, he's talking to Gentiles, non-Jews, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That must have been a futile existence for them. They couldn't claim the promises that Israel was claiming in a physical way because they weren't a part of Israel. And they had no promises given to them as Gentiles until they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and understood that when he came into the world, he came not only for Jews, he came for Gentiles as well. And now God loves the world, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. And so for the Christian, we have something to look forward to. Now I realize that in this past week, we have experienced some unexpected deaths amongst our friends. I've also experienced or talked to some brothers who have had some medical problems. And so we realize that there are problems in the world. But when it comes to our relationship with God, the Lord has told us that he says, but I do not, I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians 4 now. And Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to people who are true believers concerning those who have fallen asleep. And that's talking about people who are saved, who have died. They're not, they don't cease to exist as far as God is concerned and as far as we are concerned. They've fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of our hope. And what is our hope? He says, for if or since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And I think that means he'll bring them back to heaven with him when he comes. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those who have died as believers, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so he's writing to the Thessalonians who have been told that if people die before the Lord comes, they've missed out. And Paul is saying, oh no, they haven't missed out, because when the Lord comes, those who have died and are asleep and they are dead in Christ because they're seen in Christ and not in their sins, those people are going to be raised first. And then those of us that are alive are going to be caught up or raptured with them to be with the Lord. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. And we believe that this rapture is going to occur before the terrible tribulation comes on this earth, which is going to cause men to understand that God did take it seriously when they rejected him and his son at the cross of Calvary. When we say, as the Jews did, his blood be on us and on our children, God hears things like that, and there are physical consequences associated with that, and there are also spiritual consequences associated with that. And so we who are saved, we might go through persecution, we might die unpleasant deaths, but when we die, we're going to be resurrected, and we are going to go before those who are still alive, but those who are still alive are going to be caught up too to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, and that is a great comfort. Paul constantly talks about hope in his writings. We know that in 1 Corinthians 13, hope is a permanent gift. He says, now abide faith, hope, and the old King James says charity, newer translations say love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. But hope is one of the things that is associated with a believer in a permanent way, so he has something to look forward to. And so we look in Titus 2 and verse 13, we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord told his disciples in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Yes, people believe in God, but they need to believe in the Lord Jesus. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many places of abode. If it were not so, and I like that, if it were not so, I would have told you. We can depend on the Lord's promises to give us something to look forward to. And so my point this morning is that as Christians, we have something to motivate us. We have a sure expectation with regard to our future. And if you're unsaved today, you don't have that. You might think that everything is fine, but I can understand why there are so many people who are depressed today and why there are so many people who seemingly find no solution in life except to take their own life because they think it's pointless. But it's not pointless if you understand the love of God that is seen in Christ Jesus our Lord. He has shown his love to us just as he did to Lazarus when in John chapter 11 he wept at the tomb of Lazarus because he knew the sorrow that the sisters were going through that had actually buried him, but he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But the hope is in, first of all, the fact that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, and second of all, that we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, along with those who have died before us and who have believed in Christ. Now, why would anybody want to reject that kind of future, that kind of hope, that kind of a Savior? Friend, I hope you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you have a reason to get up in the morning, a reason for living, and you have comfort should the Lord see fit to take you through the article of death. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who are listening. We thank thee for thy love, for thy word, and for thy salvation. We commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.